You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode number 986. We're grateful that you're spending a few minutes of your day with us. Really appreciate it.
Yes, we do really appreciate it. Actually, we do care about you. We care very much what you think, and we care when you give us a little thank you back. So we do appreciate that when you do it. Please leave us a review, like, or subscribe to the channel.
Please.
To get more. Stay on top of the industry. You never know when it could affect you.
That's right.
Well, today we've got a very interesting question, which is going to be brought to you by our upcoming mapping classes. We actually, don't forget, if you want to just gain more confidence and more experience in flight in general, you've got to check out the Flight Mastery course, which is offered through our Drone U Elite Pilots. In fact, there was one taking place just today in Salt Lake City, Utah. So it goes to show that even though there are manufacturer certificates out there, it does nothing to show you how to fly. That being said, if you want to check out the mapping classes, just go to thedroneu.com, and on that page you can click Drone U Events and see all of our upcoming mapping classes.
We've got a lot to populate on there, which will be up here pretty soon.
I have a feeling that you'll probably get those dates up on here before
actually,
this show comes out.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
So,
yep, I think
yeah,
you're right.
They're on there. And in case they're not on there,
things happen.
Here's what's coming up. Just got to let you know. By the way, I should be at most of these mapping classes. If I'm personally not there, then something is wrong. For July, we didn't figure out what we were going to end up doing.
We didn't. I thought we established that we'd do it here. Did we not?
Here in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the training center.
Okay.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that.
I thought
so. Okay, I got to change this then. We need to talk about that because we need to make definitive if we're going to do that or not. Because if we are, we need to open up that class as soon as possible and decide the location. Anyway, okay. June 27th through 30th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. New York, New York, August 2nd through 4th. August 21st and 25th. And then Denver, Colorado, September 13th through 15th. NTSB, which is an accident reconstruction class, September 23rd through 27th. You have something to say?
We had thrown the idea of Toronto in there. And I
know that was for ABQ.
Oh.
So we really need to visit this again. Anyway.
Okay, so July could be Toronto. That's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Or Toronto.
You know, let us know which one you want to go to. Anyway, Tampa Bay, Florida, October 18th through 20th. Austin, Texas, November 8th through 10th. Phoenix, Arizona, November 22nd through 24th. And my personal favorite training location, San Diego, California.
Hard to beat.
It really is hard to beat. I'm probably not going to be staying at the same hotel as last time, though.
Yeah, I had a little mix-up.
No, just, we had this waiter who was super sketchy, and you know how PJ looks like a borderline federal agent? Like, he just has that, like, look. He has that look to him, you know?
It's a compliment, PJ.
Anyway, so, like, this waiter made a really poor joke about PJ, and PJ takes out his notepad, and I'm like, and I said to the waiter, I'm like, you see him writing all that down? That's because he's here to investigate you. And the guy just went, like, literally had this super guilty reaction that he had done something really wrong. And he literally turned around and left.
Well, why is it the nicest guys at the table are the ones that somebody has something to say about? I don't understand that. But whatever.
Maybe because you're boring and they want to get something out of you. They want to get a rise out of you.
Huh. I think you've just been insulted again, PJ.
No, I was talking about you.
Oh, I've been insulted. Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding, Rod. I'm just kidding. Anyway, moving on to today's show. Let's play the question.
Please.
What's going on, guys? I listen to your podcast a lot, and I love it. Thank you for all the time you guys put in. I just have a quick question. So my name is Mark. I'm just getting into the commercial business for droning, and I've been flying as a hobbyist, a licensed pilot, though, for a while, just not making any money on it. And I was just wondering, what are the procedures if you're flying on a job for a crash? So if you crash, you have to obviously report to the FAA. I'm just curious what the procedures were if you do crash on a job and how to go about that and how to start the application or the process to get an FAA investigator out there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it. And hopefully you're not having to report anything. Hopefully this isn't something that's already happened, nor permission.
I'm sure it is. You think I'm sure he's probably had a bad crash. He's trying to figure out, crap, do I report it or not? And then what do I report? I don't want to look like an idiot, so what do I do here?
Well, or maybe he's just a planner. And I would say to that, it's like golf. Visualize the middle of the fairway. So visualize a successful flight. But I think he sounds like a pretty reasonable, put-together person. So my hunch is that he's just trying to make sure he understands just in case what he should do. But hopefully that's not an issue for him. So all that said, what in the heck does a person who crashed, other than Mark, do?
Well, here is your Part 107 question for the day, Rob.
Nope.
What is the threshold for which we must report an accident?
What is the threshold? Can you give me a little bit more information?
Nope, because you should be studying the Part 107 recurrency on our website. So we'll go ahead and pass that up, because if you guys don't know the answer to that question either, you are in deep doo-doo. So make sure you check out the Drone U Part 107 resource guide. Whew, and you will get the answer to that question, because it can have a large effect on you. So that being said, let's say that he has an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And he causes a significant amount of damage over a certain dollar amount, person who researches answer to question. all right. So let's say you have a crash. What are the chances of an investigator going out there that day? I would say the chances of any FAA official getting out to you that day is probably between 0.0 and 0.1% chance.
That's pretty high.
Now let's say you hit a plane at an airport, the chances of an FAA investigator coming out are 100%.
Oh, yeah.
So,
not to mention the paddy wagon.
Yeah, seriously. So you've had an accident. What should you do? Number one, take a picture of where the drone crashed. Number two, take a picture of the battery on the drone. Not only the physical battery, but also you should take a picture of where the battery was. Take a picture of where the battery was on the remote. Take a screenshot of your phone, tablet, device to showcase its battery as well. You want to essentially showcase that you've been following all the rules. So if you did a pre-flight check and you can prove that, you want to make sure you document that. You want to document the weather. You want to document the flying conditions. You want to document the MOCA. What was the minimum obstacle clearance altitude? You want to give a brief description of why the drone crashed. And you want to download the DAT file from the drone itself so you can actually have the log of that flight. Now, if it were up to me, I would, and let's say that you need to report an accident that is over, I hope that's for Part 107 pilots and not for Part 61. Anyway.
If that's Part 61, gosh, that's like losing a light.
You found the right answer. Okay.
So all I meant by what threshold do you mean is like, what is the dollar threshold?
We're supposed to be sending them to the website, Rob. Go to the website.
Oh, I'm a bad salesperson.
Okay, fine. Tell them.
I'm a bad salesperson.
I'm trying to like set these like ways up for you guys to take advantage of our resources, and I got all numbnuts over here trying to ruin the
That's a hell of a day. I would like you to go because you know we care.
We do care, but we can also have fun with each other.
This is one little question. There's a lot more on our site, but it's $500.
What's $500?
The threshold.
Oh, well, I knew the threshold was... I thought you were saying Drone U was $500 all. Drone U ain't $500. What are you talking about?
I thought you said that you... never mind.
Anyway, I got you. It's $500. So if it's over $500, then you need to report the accident. Okay, so let's recap this.
So that could be $500 in damage, or is that just $500?
Or to the drone.
To the drone or to something else,
but
right?
Then again, so there's very specific questions about this in the question bank on the 107. They talk about like if the real world value of the drone is not $500, do you still report it even if the drone's been destroyed? And if the real world value of the drone is less than $500, then the answer is no. So there's very specific questions about this.
Okay.
So when he's had an accident, again, you want to give... if you've had an accident that needs to be reported, because it's over $500, we are in a very unique group where we actually have to report this to FISDO, and we have to report it to the NTSB, which is really, really? Weird. Yeah, NTSB Section 830. You should
separately?
Read it. Yep.
Wow. This is also saying that you can do it via the drone zone now.
Ooh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, good to know. Pull it up. Look.
Makes it
very, very cool.
Simpler.
So I guess you don't contact FISDO anymore. That's
well,
cool.
Well, it actually lists
development.
Both.
Oh, it does, huh? Interesting. Either way, this question is about what should I document, because clearly an investigator is not going to go out there. So, DAT file for the flights. If I were you as a drone pilot, I would download the file and provide to any investigator the log file of that flight. No more, no less. Okay. That being said, also important to showcase and document the area as a whole, where the drone hit, maybe take a picture of the environment, maybe do a little pano 360. I don't know. If you're Bill English, you can do a 2D ortho-rectified ortho-mosaic of the area, and then you can also, you know, get the approach path of the vehicle when it crashed. I'm just kidding. Anyway, long story short, you need to write down as much information as possible. Who is flying? What was the weather like? Is that person registered? Is the drone registered? Not is the person registered, are they certificated? In addition, you really just need to be taking down as much information as possible, but an investigator is going to be getting more and more from you. The next thing I would say is obviously know your pilot's rights, which is if you are investigated, you do get a notification of the pilot's rights and you're given that information. But anyway, I think I kind of nailed it. Number one, an investigator is probably not going to show up. Number two, document pictures of where it crashed. You need to also have pictures of the environment. Where was the drone versus where was the person? What was the environmental conditions, weather, KP index, wind speed, wind shear, where airspace were you in? And then a short description of what happened is always helps. Did I miss anything?
I don't, you just had a little accent when you said that. Did I miss anything?
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. So really, it doesn't matter if you're on the job. It doesn't matter where you are. That isn't stated necessarily right as far as his question, because he asked it specifically in the context, if I'm on a job, but that doesn't necessarily influence.
Or does it? Since the FAA's de facto ban on flights in controlled airspace, you kind of have to be 107.
Well, no, that's not necessary. Well, even if you're 107, but you're not flying for a job, I mean, you could still be out flying at a park and you're 107.
Well, if I put it on YouTube now, it's 107.
He's just not going to make this easy on me.
I'm trying to be like an investigator, Rob. All right, I'll play investigator, you play crash drone pilot, okay? All right. Thank you, drone pilot, for reporting this crash. So, Mr. Burdick, you were flying this morning, and I noticed that you were flying in controlled airspace. Were you aware of that?
Yes, sir.
Were you aware of what controlled airspace it was?
Yes, sir.
Were you aware of the controlled airspace and the ceiling of the controlled airspace?
Yes, sir.
Were you aware that Lance is available?
Yes, sir.
So why didn't you use Lance?
I did. How do you know I didn't?
Because of things called data.
And my data shows that I did.
Well, the data's wrong. All right. This really did not go well. Anyway, so all right. Well, I think we answered the question today, although it was kind of a boring execution of the answer. But I'm happy.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's not terribly complicated. Is the thing, right?
It's really not. Yeah. I would just be careful. And I was really trying to foreshadow this, but you may not have picked up on it in my language. But when I say share the DAT file, just share the one file from that flight. If you share other files, you're allowing them to create perceptions. You're also allowing them to create assumptions of what you may or may not have been doing. And, you know, guys, I would just say, like, just be smart, you know?
If absolutely. This,
also,
always.
If it's your fault, just be like, yo, it was my fault.
Yeah. How many people do you think that have an accident that would count as something that needs to be reported? Less than 1%?
That's actually a really good question. I don't know the specific, obviously, guidance for that question, but I would say...
There's no way to really know, obviously, but...
I would say, though, based off of my experience... Okay, drone you classes, right? Mm-hmm. Last... Gosh, there have been so many classes. The Dallas class, mm-hmm. David. Mm-hmm. No one reported it, mm-hmm. but he hit a gate in training, destroyed his drone.
Yeah.
Value is definitely over $500.
I just wonder what the real, I mean, they have to set a threshold somewhere. That seems low to me, that threshold. They didn't ask me.
I agree. They should ask you, but the FAA doesn't care about you, Rob. They don't care about any drone service providers. They made that very, very clear on Friday.
That was not meant to be a segue.
Okay, well, we're segueing. FAA, we're pissed. Okay? I'm just saying it. I'm saying it. We're pissed.
We're disappointed.
The whole community is pissed. I don't understand how you expect to garnish authority and credibility to govern the very pilots that you're supposed to be governing when you don't represent their interests. I'm talking about the Drone Advisory Committee. In case you haven't heard the news, which will be in the news show this week, the FAA decided to not give drone service providers or small businesses as a whole a voice on the Drone Advisory Committee. And it's extremely unfortunate. And it does look like most of the committee members who are on there have been spending the most amount of money in lobbying around the FAA. So it's really interesting.
Whew, let's be careful about those kinds of accusations.
It's actually pretty easy to perceive if you just kind of follow up on all those actions.
I think we can definitely say that it's the big guys that got put on the committee. That's very clear. So
it's also really clear that like a lot of those big guys don't actually fly drones. Weird. Why? Because I know most of them.
So we're going to have an article coming out that Vic wrote.
Yeah, sorry, a little aggressive here.
No. And I think he does a really nice job of outlining why this is important and why it's disappointing. But he also does a good job of giving credit to the people that are on the committee because they have a lot of value to add to the committee. It's just that it would have been nice, better than nice.
That value doesn't help any drone service providers.
To have DSPs on the committee as well.
You mean like actually having people that know how to actually fly on a committee about flying? Weird. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.